Today it is the 29th of October 1993. This is an interview with Eileen and Max Sinclair of Hallam. It is recorded at their home on the corner of Princes Domain Drive and the Princes Highway at Hallam. The interviewer is Debbie Stefan, Historical Officer, City of Berwick. Would you like to start by telling me your recollections of Hallam when you moved here in 1936 and where you moved from?
Well, in 1936 we moved to Hallam, and it was, as I said, a very quiet little country town, which we were very happy to be here, you know, around the Newport was a city, of course. And we lived in Hallam in the other house from 1936 to 1968, which we can't hear. Mm-hmm. My mum and dad were, the name.
Yes, you'd be.
My mum and dad's name was Robert and Sarah Quigg.
How do you spell that?
Quigg. And my dad just had retired, and he potted around doing his gardening, and then in the war years, his son was seriously injured in the overseas at Tobruk. And then he died in 1942, and Mum died in 1947. So we were still living in that house then, of course.
Where was that house?
The rear of the Hallam Hotel, just across the road from Reg Heather's property in those days. Mm-hmm.
And what do you recall of Hallam when you first moved here as a 10-year-old? Do you remember any of the families?
Oh yes,
we
met. There was a lot of people in Hallam, quite a lot of people. Which there was Gatters, which had a farm down just near Fitzgerald Road, and the Reedies. There was Espies. Down on Hallam Road, we had property was owned by Mr. and Mrs. White, and then taken over by Mr. and Mrs. Milioff, and they had all that property that ran from, you know, right back here, right where Andrew's property used to be. And then down the highway, there was a lot of changes in the meantime, because these people owned that. Mr. and Mrs. Scott, they owned the property where Reg Heather took over later. And at the Hallam Railway Station, the first station master was Mr. and Mrs. Vines.
Mrs. Vines ran the railway station,
yes,
didn't
yes,
she?
Yes, that's right. They were the first ones that I can recall that were in Hallam then.
What was she like?
A lovely lady. They had quite a few. There was Lily Vines, which I went to school with Lily. Mm-hmm. And, Billy Vines. And there was another daughter, and I just can't recall her name. Mm-hmm. And after they left, Mr. and Mrs. Exel took over the station, and she was running the station, and they had a family. There was Betty, Val, Barbara, and Billy Vines.
And did the station mistress have to stop the train?
Yes, she had to come out every time there was a train coming through, because there was no boom gates on then, and she'd have to cross over and shut the gates and open them after the train had gone.
Is that because it's a single track, isn't
it? Yes, it was a single track in those days for the steam train. Mm. And she did all the, you know, was always at the office there giving tickets out and that. And after they went, Exels, I don't know who took over the station master's office job then. But we used to help her run out and shut the gates, you know, as young ones. Lovely people. There was others after. It was Mr. and Mrs. Kenny that were station masters. And after that, I'm not too sure who ran the station, if anybody, because it changed by that time, you know. And, but it was really, if you didn't get up, if you caught the train in Dandenong, many a time they took you past your stop. You had to peel the bell and then run back the station. But at least we had transport, you know, to go into Dandenong if we, instead of walking in, which we used to walk in and out quite a lot to Dandenong.
Along the highway?
Yeah, along the highway. Sometimes you'd get somebody to stop that you knew and pick you up. But we also used to walk into St Mary's in Dandenong in those days because there was no bus services. And then my father, if he could catch our little pony, he'd come in and pick us up. So that was all, it was really, we thought it was great coming from town and coming out and having a horse and a cow, and we milked our own cow. And we used to love it, really, as young ones, you know. It was such a big change from coming out of a big place. There was a, I might be mixing this up because Mr. and Mrs. Robbie also lived on the property where Reg Heather was. And he used to be the manager of the the stocking. There was a big stocking factory on the corner of Foster and then right on the station there. Beaumont was the name of the...
Is it Dandenong?
Yes, in Dandenong. And I worked there for quite some years doing stockings. And then on the... Did I mention the Gaffers?
No.
No, well, they lived on this side and they were just down past Fitzgerald Road. It was the Gatters.
What did they farm?
They farmed cattle. They were farmers and the Reedies. They had to bring, Reedies lived down Fitzgerald Road, so they had to bring their milk cans up to the highway for the Davis's trucks to pick them up. Heather's, Espy's also manned another farm on the corner where the service station is now.
Right.
And I worked there, helped them out many a time. And down further, on the far side of the highway, there was a Mr. Huey Woods. He had a big property there, and he had, he was, I can't recall what he was doing. Hallam Railway line, down the Hallam Valley Road, there was Mrs. Poulton and her family that ran another farm down there, and she used to bring in the time the properties were a bit bare of food, they'd bring their, drive their cattle up and feed on the sides of the road, and my mum used to make them cups of tea and things, and they're a big family actually. The Kirkhams, they had the biggest farm in the southern hemisphere at that time, up on top of the... And it was Hallam then, it wasn't Hampton Park, but it is now part of Hampton Park. But right up on top of the hill, and they had a very big farm, and there was a big family of them that I went to school with, a few of their family too. But you'd probably find a lot out about the Kirkhams. There's Harry Kirkham, who had the dairy in Dandenong, and Nellie, and she married Harry Fox from Narrow North, and they had a fruit shop for a long time. In the High Street in Bury. So, when you get to the Tip House on Hallam Road, Mr. and Mrs. Musgrave used to live there, and they had a small cattle, and that was when the soldiers had their camp down just in the front. And they used to come, I used to go down and milk their cows.
Where was that?
Down at the Tip, where the Tip originally was. Or before the Tip actually was there, and they had you know, about 20 cattle, I'd say. And I used to do it when they wanted a break. And the soldiers were all around in the front, and I used to go down their trenches. You know, they're a lovely lot of men, they really were. And I'd go down and make their custards and things for the soldiers. But they were a fine group of men. And then the Keeleys moved in then, Mr. and Mrs. Keeley and her family. And then that was at the tip, you know, where the tip was, the house. And Mr. and Mrs. Keeley also used to live there. And oh, there was some other people too, I've got to recall who they were. I can't think at the moment.
Well, what do you recall about your school days at Hallam Primary?
I can recall quite a lot. The first teacher was Mr. Umpage, I think his name was. And then we had a Mr. Phillips who taught, and a Mr. Flanagan that was another school teacher, and a Mr. Sandown also taught there, because our sewing teacher was Lucy Burton.
Yes, still.
And it was a really nice country little school. It was, you know, you had, in those days, because the things were pretty bad in the Depression, so they had hot cocoa for you in the mornings, you know, that you used to have when you went to school. And actually they were very short of teachers, so my girlfriend and I, who was Eileen, we had to take classes, which was in the shelter shed at the side of the school.
Mm.
And we had to, if you go in the, and in on the board, there'd be EQ and EG, that was Eileen, Grant and myself. And we used to have to take the young ones out and teach them their spelling and their reading. And
the infants' classes?
Yeah, the infants' classes. Oh. We used to, and really, we used to think we're going to miss our own lessons because we had to do that, but we didn't mind. We enjoyed it. They were very nice lot of people. And of course, in those days, we used to have it was sort of Catholics and the other religions. And we weren't allowed to have it in the schoolroom, so the priests used to come out and we'd go back out into the shelter shed and learn our religious instructions. Very happy days at Hallam School, I feel. I enjoyed it. But I had to leave the day I was 14 because I was very nervous and I couldn't sit for my merit, so my mother decided that on the day of my 14th birthday, I left school. And then my work life started, of course, because things were pretty bad then.
Do you remember any special occasions at the school, like concerts?
Yes, I sung in the concerts at school.
Yeah.
And they used to hold them in the Hallam Hall. And I had to take the leading part for the singing in the concerts. And we had a Mrs. Kinraid, used to live up Hallam Road, and she did this, you know, taught us all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And very happy times with all the Hallam Hall.
What was Lucy Burton like?
Lucy Burton was a very nice person, but if you didn't do what you want, she wanted you to. You heard about it, but she wasn't too bad, really. There was one teacher there, Mr. Flanagan, that I didn't get on very well with. He was rather a abrupt man, but I suppose he was doing a good job as a school teacher.
Mm. And which one did you like the best?
Mr. Phillips, he was a real human being. Mm. He really was a very nice person. The other first teacher, he was all right. But Mr. Flanagan was there when I finished school in those years.
And what were your classes, you know, in your last years at school?
My last year at school was grade 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went on to a higher
mm-hmm.
education. But, of course, we couldn't do that because we couldn't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
I think my brother did, and so did my sister, but I couldn't go. I was too nervous. And, you know, when it came to exams, my mind just boomed. And I said, Mum said, you're going to go and do your merit. And I said, I can't, because every time exams came, I'd get sick. Because just worrying about it, I could have done it, but I used to get sick. So that's why I finished school at 14. So.
And where did you start work?
I started work on all the farms in the district, I think, and I had to, you know, anybody that wanted an extra hand, I was there to help. And then I went across to Lyndhurst to work on a farm, and I stayed there. I used to ride my bike across from here to Lyndhurst and then come back every weekend. Mm-hmm. And I got 10 shillings a week for that, and we're up at dawn, and but that was 10 shillings, you know. In those days. But I enjoyed it. I used to like the open air. And,
And which properties do you remember in particular that you were working on?
I worked at Milios's, which was just next door. I worked for Espy's on the corner. I didn't work for Eddie's, but there was another couple in there. He got sick and I had to do the farm on my own, and he had quite a herd of cattle. I was thinking that name the other day. You know, they went into Dandenong Max and they had a wool shop in there.
Yeah, I know.
I just can't think their names. But I did work there for quite a while he was ill. Mm-hmm. And you had to bring the cows in, milk them, and then they had about a dozen calves. And I had to separate all that milk by hand. Mm-hmm. And then you had to feed all the calves. But when he came home and they called me up, and I had to walk from the cow sheds, probably across the highway, and go up and get hot water from the house to wash all the implements. Yeah. And when he came back out of hospital, he called me in one day and he said he was very pleased because he said, with the cream, because they had a count on milk and cream, and he said, we got the highest count that we've had and we're very pleased with what you did. So that was a bonus for me.
The lowest?
Oh, well, the lowest count. Yeah, the lowest count. Like they didn't have it. It was all very clean and he was very pleased. So that was, you feel that you'd done your job right. But they were very nice people to work for, and they didn't push or anything.
Mm-hmm.
What other farms did I work on?
So you're mainly doing the outdoors work,
yes,
were you?
Yes, that's I was doing outdoor, and then I worked up in the top of the hill for a Mr. and Mrs. Dickinson. I was house cleaning and helping in the sheds then. But we were young and we enjoyed it. It was healthy living, even though you come in covered in mud and cows would flip you over the face with it. But no, it was a part of my life. I wouldn't like to go back to it now. No.
I think you said you were working in the post office at one stage.
Yes, yes.
Could you tell me a bit about the work?
Yes,
in the post office,
Mrs. Beaton, I used to go across and milk their cow for them too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mrs. Beaton got sick, so I had to go in, and Mr. Ames was the barman at the time.
Right.
And I used to have to go in and do upstairs, downstairs, and then I manned the post office. You'd just get upstairs, the bell would ring and you'd run down, and then you'd give that person their mail and you'd get upstairs and run down. But it was interesting, you know, you had to sort all the mail and put it in all their different names.
Did you have to collect it from the railway?
Yes, well, I used to take, I think somebody brought it up in the mornings, but I had to take it down to the trains and put it on a steam train about 4, it had to be gone out by 4 o'clock at night. So you had to sort all that out and send that away.
And how long were you doing that?
I suppose about 7 or 8 months I did that until she came back, but she was never well enough again. And after that, they moved out and who came in? McDonald's. The licensees came in. But my mother worked there. She did she used to do all the main things like Christmas Day lunches or any big parties that come in. She cooked at the Hallam Hotel for all the functions they had on.
Yeah. What was that hotel like in those days? I mean, how many rooms did it have?
Well, upstairs it had about one, to about three or four bedrooms because they were to take people in, you know, but I don't remember them taking people in at the time I was there because they just couldn't have managed it with the hotel and the bar. And I also had to clean out the bar every morning, which wasn't a very pleasant job, I might add.
No.
It wasn't a very pleasant job. Yeah. But you did it because you had to do it.
So was it just the main bar, or were there lounges as well?
There was a main bar, and they had little rooms coming through the, like little saloons, you know, where if you wanted to be private, you'd go and sit in them. And they had a dining room in what is still existing, the dining room, but it's been built on to now where that all that new room is, you know. It was, Mrs. Beaton was very good with us when we were young, you know, she used to be very good. When we first, we were married, my mother had died then, so she wanted me to come and see her as a bride, and so she held a little function at the Hallam Hotel when we were married in 1947, wasn't it?
Oh, he was drinking wine.
It was funny because I never drank in my life because we were taught, you know, in the Catholic religion, which I was very sort of thin then about being that, and you weren't allowed to touch any alcohol till you're 21. And so this day, Mrs. Robbie, she was quite a funny lady, and she goes and gets Maxie's out. Maxie's out in the other bar, and he's having lemonade, and she's giving me this drink, which I didn't know had alcohol in. And it was quite funny, really, because she was sitting there. She liked to have a drink, and there was a plant. I remember it as though it was yesterday. And she drank that much celebrating my wedding, and she had this drink, and she's tipping it into a plant, and she's singing the biggest aspidestrous in the world. It was really nice, I remember. And then we had our reception at the Hallam Hall, which was the only thing in those days. My brother put that on.
We haven't mentioned the Hallam Hall
so far. No, well, the Hallam Hall was the only entertainment virtually in those days. Because, we had
dances there nearly every week.
Yeah, they had a lot of balls and dead balls. And, if anybody, like our kitchen tea was held at the Hallam Hall. Our engagement party was at the Hallam Hall. Our wedding was at the Hallam Hall.
No, the wedding was in Downing.
Yeah, but we had the wedding, we had the reception in Dandenong on the little milk shop that used to be on the corner of Foster and in the intersection there at Cheltenham Road. Yeah, but she catered for it. She catered for it, and we had it in the Dandenong Town Hall. And then we had this thing out at the Hallam Hall after. Yeah, my brother put that on for us.
And who managed the hall in those days? Was there a Progress Association?
Yeah, there was a Progress Association.
It's going right back. An argument over that, wasn't it? There was a big argument who owned it, the Process Association or the Hallam, what they used to call themselves, Hallam Hall, what was it, some other?
I can't remember.
There was a bit of a dispute. I don't know who got it.
But George Chudley was on the Progress Association when he came into Hallam.
Right. And this is the 1960s or so, isn't it? Much later.
Yes. Yeah. And there were quite a few. Oh, Mr. Gattis and Reedy's, they were on the Progress Association.
And George.
Mr. Murphy, George Murphy, which I noticed on our plan.
Johnson down below.
Johnson. Johnson's from Hallam Valley Road. There was quite a few on the Hallam Progress. And then as we got older, we formed a younger set, and we used to hold our meetings and that there with all the young ones in Hallam. It was really a great, we had all games, and it was really quite nice, you know. But the boys, the young lads that we went to school with, they looked after us girls. You know, they really did, didn't they? They sort of took us under their wing and made sure nobody outside bothered us, you know. We used to go to the dances all over the place. One person had a car, and we'd be all up in this, going up and round to the different dances at Upways and all over the place. And in those days, that Blaine's, Mr. Tommy Blaine, he used to have the orchestra, and everybody followed his music. It was beautiful. We used to, you know, have a great time.
Good orchestra, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good band.
Yeah. And then down Hallam Road, on the left side, Jackie Westville, he was about the first one that got a car in Hallam, that he used to take us all to the different dances all around. We'd go to the Midnight to Dawn at Turredon, and even if we had to sit up in a big truck, you know, it was, and Hampton Park, we went all over the place. But before we had transport, and at the Narre Warren North, we had, in those days you wore long dresses. So to ride a bike across, you picked your dress up, tied it around your waist, and there'd be about six of us ride across to the Narre Warren North dances. But there was more to entertain you then than there really is now, you know, for our age group. You know, but it was, we used to be a happy lot, you know. They were all friendly. Everybody was there if you needed them to help. Nobody, if somebody was in need, everybody was around to rally around and give them a hand. Another thing they did have through the war years in the Hallam Hall was a Red Cross.
Oh.
Yes, and we learnt first aid through the Red Cross. And we used to knit all the socks for the soldiers and the scarves for them, you know, and they'd give you the wool and you'd knit up all these socks and they'd be sent away to the fighting forces.
So would you go there once a week or something to...
For Red Cross,
yeah,
you did.
For the
yes,
Red Cross?
You did. Every week they'd hold them. About at night time we'd have a session. But in that time my father had a very severe heart attack. So I had, after that I had to give it away. I couldn't handle it because I knew I was in there when it happened. So we gave that away. I gave that away. But we learnt a lot, you know, while I was there. It was interesting.
I've heard that during the war there was some artillery around the hotel somewhere around there.
Yes.
That it was sort of to protect everything from an invasion through Western Port or something like that.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember.
No, I don't remember
that.
But I know there were soldiers parked over on this, at the back here.
At Mrs. Buckley's.
Yeah, behind the, you know, the land there.
Right.
And they had all their trenches, you know. But I remember as a younger, there was trenches over on the back of Hillis too. And when we, the war.
Where would they be?
They were right at the back of that.
As you go down, Hallam's.
Yes, down
south,
to Hallam Station on your left. There was trenches down there.
On the other side from the station.
Yes, and there was trenches on the other side, because I remember after the war we used to all go down these trenches, adventuring. We didn't realise the dangers, but we used to go through with a light of some sort. And, that was on this property, and that was back further down, down just opposite the tip area, really.
It could have been that the artillery was on Mrs. Buckley's.
Well, it could have been, because we didn't know. They never sort of told you
about
it.
I know, they never told you anything.
They didn't tell you. But they used to have the soldiers, they'd be doing their, what do you call it, when they would do a, they'd walk, they'd come out and you'd see them marching up and down for miles up the highway.
So they'd march up the Hallam's Road or the Prince's Highway?
Well, they used to come from right back, like they'd come from here and go to Dandenong and they'd all come
back.
Yes. Because my mum, she used to bring them in, like the young soldiers. She lost her first husband in the First World War.
Right.
So she felt sorry for these soldiers. And when they were in Hallam, she'd invite quite a few of them up for Christmas dinner because they were so far from home. And they were a really fine bunch of soldiers. There was never anybody, you know, that would ever put a hand. They were just decent lot of men. And of course we had the Americans in the Dandenong market. They were in, they had a camp in there that along Clay Street, and that was all boarded off.
Right.
And the soldiers were in there. The American soldiers were in there. But we didn't like the American soldiers. They were good, I suppose, but get back from them.
You used to get in and make the cast for them,
too. Oh, down here. Yeah, right. They'd say, come on down, and there'd be two or three of them, and can you make a custard? And I'd be there showing them how to, they didn't know how to make a custard, so I'd go down, like homemade custard, I'd go down and show them, and oh, they reckon that was great, because... When I first used to go, I felt so embarrassed having to walk through all this great army of soldiers, but they'd all hoy and how are you, and I used to go in and, you know, milk the cows. Well, in the end, they had to be, the cows were right down in another paddock, right down in the railway line, so they'd say, where are you going? And I'd say, to bring the cows in, so three or four of them had come down and helped me bring the cows in, and then they'd help me milk the cows. They were really good guys.
I'll stop the